That I ever went to church. Well, that's not really true. When I was young, I went to a Sunday school, and when I got old enough to leave that, I said, see you later, won't be going back there. The first time I went to what became our home church in Adelaide was at Northside in Para Vista, and I went there, and it was a friend day. A friend of my wife had invited us to go to this friend day meeting. I said, what's this friend day mean? Oh, you know, just friends go to church. I said, oh, really? And church and God were over there, and I was going this direction. So I was like, now, what do you mean we're going to church? But some of you heard me tell this before, but we were in Amway at the time. And about Amway, it's a direct selling home business. And my wife said, look, we've got this invite to go to this friend day at church. And I said, really? Okay. I said, actually, how many people go to that church? I think there's a couple hundred. I said, we'll go. He'd say, why did you say that? Because I thought, 200 people, if we can get 10% of those in Amway, how good will that be? Wow, let's do it. So we went. And that seemed good. People seemed friendly and everything else. And then on the way out, I was talking to the pastor, and I'm thinking, really thinking, I'm thinking, if I can get him in Amway, he's got all these people in the church, he'll be able to get all them involved. Boy, this business is going to really boom. Well, cut it down a little bit. We did catch up. He came round to our home. And I said, look, I'm working from home, so you can come any time. He came. We spent a couple of hours up and down, ran around, all sorts of things. And he kept bringing me back to the Bible and what the Bible said. And I'm going, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's good. And at the end of that, he said, you probably worked out that you're not going to get me into Amway. And I said, I kind of had that feeling. But I said, you've likewise probably worked out that... I'm not going to be a regular in church either. So here I am today. So I'll tell you the rest of the story later on, but it was kind of interesting how God worked it all out, let me tell you. As we sang, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Certainly there's no other explanation. You can ask my wife, she'll be able to tell you. But this morning I want to turn in the book of Acts. Those of you who have a Bible, I want to turn in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and I'll read a few verses, just the last 14 verses of this particular passage in the scriptures. So Acts chapter 8, and reading from verse 26. And the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. It was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. All right, so that's verse 40. Let's just, for a moment, bow again, just for a word of prayer, and ask God to bless our time as we look into his word now. Our God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for this, our friend day this year. Thank you, Father, again for everybody who's come out and all that. Pray now your blessing upon us as we look into this passage and others in your word. Lord, you've said your word is a living word, and I pray this morning that it would prove to be so in each of our hearts and lives. May the Lord Jesus be magnified. Lord, if there's anybody here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, that, Lord, some of the things said today would, as it were, strike a light with them, and Lord, bring them to that saving knowledge of Christ. But Father, we just ask for your blessing now in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. One of the blessings that I've found over the years about the Bible are Bible prophecies. I don't know whether you've ever looked into that at all, but past prophecies that have been fulfilled, fulfilling prophecies today, and then there's future prophecies as well. And it's really, really amazing when you start to look at those things, and it's very difficult to deny that this is not just an ordinary book once you start to look at those things. And, for example, as far as future prophecies go, you've got the Lord Jesus' second coming to earth. We were talking to a lady just a couple of days ago, an older lady, and she said, oh, you know, they've kind of proved that Jesus was a real person. I thought, that's an interesting comment. I said to her, well, I don't know why we would have doubted that. I mean, we have the date, don't we? AD, BC. So does that mean for 2,000 years we haven't realized that Jesus was a real person? Why would we have AD, BC? Before Christ, BC after, before Christ, BC, and AD after Christ. Why would that be the case if there was no such person? Oh, well, there is. They proved it. I said, well, okay, fair enough. And we had quite some discussion. In the midst of that, we were talking about it. I said, what about, you know, there's prophecies in the Bible that, you know, are going to be fulfilled. So you've got the Lord Jesus and his second coming. We didn't talk a lot about that, but it's interesting. There's over twice as many scriptures about the Lord Jesus' second coming as there is about his first coming. And as we'll see this morning, there's a number of prophecy about his first coming that which will fulfill right down to the last detail. Which would make sense because the Lord Jesus said on one occasion, not one jot or tittle shall pass away from God's word until all be fulfilled. Now a jot or tittle is like a little mark or a little dot over a letter. He said everything is going to be fulfilled literally by the time God says let's close the whole show down. So again, with future prophecies, I'm not going to dwell on them this morning and really look into them, but sometimes you want to have a look in Revelation chapter 11. It talks about two men who will be in Jerusalem. And they'll be there as prophets for 3.5 years, and they'll be out there doing miracles and doing all sorts of things. And then what will happen is, after 3.5 years, they'll be killed, and the Bible says their body will lay in the street for 3.5 days. And the whole world will see it. Now, today, that's possible, isn't it? With all our technology and phones and everything else, we can see what's going on around the world. And so, Revelation 11 says, these two men, they will be killed because people we've had enough of them. But after 3.5 days, the Bible says, they will be raised from the dead, and the whole world will see them come to light and then go up into heaven. Okay, future prophecy. Possible today. We could go on with that. Revelation 13 talks about a one world government where there will be total control. We're getting a little bit of an indication of that in our day, aren't we? This whole COVID shutdown and lockdown, whatever else. We're getting some introduction to that. And it talks about in that chapter that there will be one day this cashless society and everybody will take a mark either on their right hand or on their forehead, or there will be no buying or selling. In other words, cash will be done away with. Where are we heading today? Cash was inside. Now, so we could go on and on. That's not my purpose this morning, but just to kind of, look, as it were, spike our interest a little bit. But back here in Acts chapter 8, we find this situation. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem under Gaza, which is desert. Philip had gone down to a place called Samaria. He'd been preaching there, and people were being saved. They were trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior. God was doing a work there. And then God, through the Spirit of God, spoke to Philip and said, listen, I've got a special job for you. So verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So here's a religious man. He's left Ethiopia. He's gone up there to worship in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where it's all happened, as it were. And this is a very important man. This is a very well-known, we'd say famous man. And he'd gone up there to worship God. It's interesting to see how this works out. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip's come down from Samaria, and just coincidentally, from the Ethiopian eunuch's point of view, he's coming down the same area. And guess what? They just happened to cross paths. You see, God's overruling and guiding and leading in all this. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, excuse me, sir, do you understand what you're reading there? It's a good question when it comes to the Bible, because I talk to people over the years, you can't make sense of the Bible, it's too hard to understand. He'd heard all those things before. So it's not an unreasonable question. Do you understand what you read? You say you've read it, but do you understand it? There's one thing to read, it's another thing to understand it. And here's what the eunuch says. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? That makes sense, doesn't it? But if I gave you a Bible today, you never had a Bible in your life, I gave you a Bible, and I said, do you understand? So how can I? How can I? I haven't even read it yet. You get the idea. So, Philip, sent by God, here's what I call a divine appointment. And I've noticed that over the years. You just happen to come across someone and just happen to have a chance to talk to them about the Lord. It's quite amazing, divine appointments. And so, the eunuch, he's reading in the book of Isaiah. In fact, it's chapter 53. We'll be looking at it shortly. But we see God's perfect timing in this. And it's a good question. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Well, we notice what he was reading there, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opening not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Good question. He's read about this person who's going to die, and he's saying, is this Isaiah, this prophet, writing about himself, or is he writing about someone else? Good question. All right, he's already said, I don't understand it, except someone tells me, so can you tell me? Who's he writing about? What's it about? And I don't know, maybe this morning you've come with a question or two, or maybe a question or two will arise as we go through, but, the worst question is the one you don't ask. You got questions, you ought to ask. Excuse me, Philip, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Because sometimes we don't like asking questions because we don't want to make what we call a fool of ourselves. I don't want to make it look like I'm stupid, Oh, everybody would know that. No, not everybody knows everything. Nobody knows everything, including me. But it's wise to ask questions, especially about spiritual matters, because you're talking eternal matters. It's wise to ask questions if you're not sure. So I want to just show us something about this. Come to Luke 24. You've got a Bible? Turn to Luke 24. I just want to make this point about understanding and how we need to learn some things. We don't just naturally know everything. But here, we're seeing here the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, in Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. Verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came out of the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so what's happening here? The Lord Jesus risen from the dead, which is what the Bible prophesied would happen. So he's going along now. He appears to two men on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. What's that? About 7 miles. Whatever that is in kilometres. Well, 5, 10, about 12 k's. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said, and what manner of communication are these that they have one to another as he walked? And so they're saying, look, what's going on? Are you a stranger here? Don't you know what's happened these last few days? Jesus, this man Jesus, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to be the new king here in Israel. And they killed him. They nailed him across and now he's dead. And not only that, we go and have a look at the tomb and the body's gone. We don't know what's going on. It's a crazy world. Like our world today. Well, in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he goes to the scriptures. Then we read on. We find out that he appears in the upper room where the disciples are meeting. And the Bible says in verse 36, and as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid and supposed they'd seen a spirit. Now this might sound crazy to some of us, but the disciples are in this locked room and the next minute the Lord Jesus appears in the room. Now remember, he's risen from the dead. We haven't got time to go through it all this morning, but he's now got what we call a spiritual body. He's now got a resurrected body. It looks the same, but it's different now because it's a body that will never corrupt, etc., never get old, etc. So he appears in the room, and they were frightened. Now you can imagine that. We're all here. We're already frightened because Jesus is dead. We don't know whether they're going to come and get us and nail us across or what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. So we're locked in. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus appears. He's supposed to be dead. What's going on here? And they think, this is a spirit. This is a ghost or something. That's what happens. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? It's like, what's the problem? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? What's the problem? He said, behold my hands and my feet, and as I myself handle me, see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He said, listen, you guys, what's your problem? Come and have a look. See that? The nail scars. This body was the one that I was in, still in. And I got nailed to the cross. You can see the nail scars. Would you like to have a look at my side? That's where the centurion put his spear up into my side because they said, we better check to see whether he's dead because if he's not, we've got to break his legs. It's getting late in the day. And so they put a spear up and out comes blood and water. I said, no, he's dead, all right, no problem about that. So he says, have a look. And when it said, and thus spoke, and he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said, well, have you got any meat? You still don't really believe, do you? You got something for me to eat. I'll prove I'm real. Give me something to eat. Well, what did they do? They gave him a piece of broad fish and honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. So he's sitting there eating. You imagine, put yourself in the position of the disciples. Think about it. Jesus is dead. We now got news his body's missing. And then all of a sudden he appears in the room. Now what? And here he is chewing away on some fish. Like, this is different. Whoa. Well, notice what it goes on. He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He said, I've already told you before what was going to happen to me. I've already shared the scriptures, the law of Moses, the first 5 books. I've already shared to you from all the prophets and the Psalms, in other words, the whole of the Old Testament, which is scripture. I've already been teaching you those things. Why are you so surprised? Then notice what it says in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Amen. Excuse me, Philip. Says, do you understand? He said, how can I except someone tell me? disciples, do you understand? Well, we don't understand. Jesus said, okay, I'll tell you. So he says, thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, it's all recorded in the Old Testament. You guys, don't be so surprised and shocked. It was already prophesied hundreds, some thousands of years ago, the prophecies over a period of time. It's all good. It's being fulfilled, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. So, what am I trying to get to? We'll get back to Acts chapter 8. You understand, eunuch? I don't. Need someone to tell me. Do you disciples understand? We've got no idea. We thought you were a spirit or a ghost or something. We don't know what's going on. Well, so listen, I'll give you some understanding. Now, how did he give them understanding? From the scriptures. If you want to know the truth, you're going to have to come to the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, thy word is true. And you don't have to worry about what the experts tell you out there today, and all the scoffers and mockers. I haven't got time to prove it this morning. But the Bible is clearly the Word of God. It's clearly true. And, you know, I had someone say to me one day, I was door knocking, and this guy says, some of you heard me say this, oh, yeah. He said, the Bible's full of contradictions and errors. I said, really? He said, yeah, full of them. I said, okay, seeing it's full of them, can you give me one? He said, I said, hang on, you said it's full of them. You shouldn't be able to come up with one. Sure, get off the car. Well, I need to have a look into a Bible. This bloke, he's got problems. But he said, here's what I need. I said, what's that? He said, I need a King James Bible. I said, that's your lucky day, mate. I got my point. Now, that would be probably close to 20 years ago, and I've yet to hear him come up with one contradiction or error. And I see him occasionally, not very often these days, but if when I, in the early part, I used to see him go, oh, hi. Did you find any errors yet? Oh, my. No, we can have confidence that the Bible is true. I've already mentioned the prophecy. We don't have time to go into all of them this morning. When you start looking at the prophecy that's been fulfilled in the details, you can't deny the fact that this, whoever wrote it or whatever it's about, might not understand it all yet, but it's certainly got to be true. You think about just the Lord Jesus himself. In Genesis, right back in Genesis, remember the Lord said, beginning in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, right back in Genesis chapter 3, God said to Adam, Adam, is going to come the seed of the woman. Again, we haven't got time to go into all that. And speaking prophetically some 4,000 years in advance of a virgin who would give birth to a son. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ's birth, said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. How can a virgin conceive and bring forth a son? Mary is told by the angel, you are going to have a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. She said, how can I? Haven't known a man. As I haven't had any physical relationship with any man. How can I have a son? She said, the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and that which is conceived in your womb will be of God. It's the Son of God who is coming to be manifested in the flesh. So, you think about the fulfilled prophecies. Micah chapter 5 tells us the place where the Lord Jesus would be born. Daniel chapter 9, take time there one day to look at that. It tells you the time when he'll be born. It gives you prophetic scriptures about Israel, when the Messiah will come, and that he'll be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, he will die, but it won't be because of what he's done. He'll be dying for the sins of mankind. You go to Isaiah chapter 61, the Lord Jesus began his public ministry. He stood up and he held up that passage in Isaiah 61. He said, and he read it and said, this day, this prophecy is fulfilled in front of your eyes. I'm beginning my public ministry. Zechariah chapter 9 says that the Lord Jesus would come into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, which took place a week before the cross. The whole crowd were there, Hosanna, Hosanna, and a week later they're all saying, crucify him, crucify him. Zechariah chapter 11 tells us that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, there are dozens of prophets. I just put a few out there just to encourage us. I don't believe it's true. You can't put that many things together, written by some 40-odd authors over about a 1,500-year period, and it all just flows straight through, and it all comes out nicely fulfilled. As I already said, there's double the prophets about the Lord Jesus' second coming. We won't even touch that this morning. In Psalm 22, you know, it's interesting to read there. In the very first verse, David's writing prophetically, he says this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never read it. Read sometimes the crucifixion account and you find the Lord Jesus on the cross. There's been 3 hours of darkness as God makes him to be sin for us who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulfilling the prophecies. Hundreds of years earlier. And then in that same psalm, it talks about they pierced his hands and his feet. Now think about it. David's writing this. There was no cross or crucifixion when he was writing. Yet hundreds of years later, what happens to the Lord Jesus? He's nailed to the cross. They pierce his hands and his feet. So again, I'm saying all those things to encourage us. The Bible can be trusted. The Bible is true. As we come back to Acts chapter 8 again, notice that he was reading the place of the scriptures was in Isaiah chapter 53. There's a couple of verses there in particular, and again, he asks Philip, who's he speaking about? Then in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So I want to turn there for a moment to Isaiah 53, just to quickly look at that, because this chapter is very, very fascinating chapter in many ways. I call it the Gospel of the Old Testament, because the whole chapter is about the Lord Jesus speaking prophetically. And it's interesting that the nation of Israel for hundreds of years have denied what's taught in this chapter. In fact, very, very, if at all, we'll read that. Because why? Because there's only one conclusion you can come up with. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus and a future event. I don't want that. They call him that man. And so we've got to get rid of that. So in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now remember, Philip is using this passage to speak to them about the Lord Jesus. We don't know what other passages he mentioned, but I'm sure he mentioned plenty of others. But this was the particular one because it was where the eunuch was. And so it speaks about his birth. And then we find going on there, it talks about something of his ministry in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Remember, this is the prophet speaking to the nation of Israel. And he's saying to them, listen, when the Messiah comes, he will be despised and rejected. He'll be a man of sorrows. He'll be acquainted with grief, and you will hide yourself from him. You won't accept him. Well, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's what it says, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He's speaking about Christ's death on the cross, and that death was the payment for our sins. The Bible says there's a wage of sin which is death. The Lord Jesus paid that price on the cross. So that's what he's talking about there. He says that that God had laid on him our sins. He paid the price for us. So he says there in verse 6, for we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God says, look, you're all sinners. And so Christ died for all. God placed on him the iniquity of us all. Why? Because he was the perfect sacrifice for sin. He was the sinless Son of God. He was the one who came from heaven's glory, born through the virgin's womb, never sinned. And so when it came to be the sacrifice for sins, he was the perfect sacrifice. Why? Because he never sinned. And so God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then it goes on. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Okay, so we remember that's where he was reading there, the eunuch. He said, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And he preached unto him Jesus. The Lord Jesus didn't go, hey, I haven't done anything wrong, you can't kill me, I'm going to protest, I'm going to go, I'm going to, well, what? No. He didn't do that. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before his death, he did pray. The Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he prayed, Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he willingly went to the cross for the cost of our sin. That's what he did. That's what he did. So he was a lamb before a shearer is dumb. It's like a sheep there. He's not, you know, he went, Herod, the king, Pilate, and tried to get the Lord Jesus, what we say, off the hook, but the crowd said, no, crucify him, crucify him. Then he heard Herod was there, so I'm sitting down, Herod can talk. And you know what he said to Herod, what Jesus said to Herod? Nothing. He's a lamb before his slaughter, sheep before his shearers, is nothing. I'm not going to debate with you, Herod, I'm not going to argue. Not going to do it. Now, you would expect normally in today's world, but I'm innocent, I didn't do it, I've been falsely accused, that's not right. No. Sheep before the shearer, the lamb there, is done. He didn't do anything wrong. But he's taking upon himself your sin and my sin. That's what's happening. So, he goes on, and he made his grave with the wicked, verse 9, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It's interesting, isn't it? He made his grave with the wicked, there's two thieves either side on the cross, that's alongside him. But along with that, with the rich in his death, it was the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who said, I've got a tomb here, it hasn't been used. You can put Jesus' body in there, that'll be okay. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his solemn offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah says, the Messiah is going to die for the sins of the world, but he's going to look ahead to the pleasure, to the joy that lies ahead. And Hebrews talks about that. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the pain. Because he could see the results of what his death was going to do for mankind. And he could see the multitudes of people who were going to repent of their sins and trust Christ one day as their Savior. It was worth it in that sense. He's looking forward to that. And then in verse 11, he shall see if the travail of his soul shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I divide a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, who's numbered with the transgressors, bear our sin, and made intercession for the transgressors. He says, I will divide a portion with the great, divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he's going to be raised from the dead one day. He's going to be raised from the dead. And so 3 days later, we saw there in Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus physically, bodily from the grave. And it's very significant and it's very important. We don't know all that, that Philip said to the eunuch. If we just come back here a moment, the Bible says here in Acts chapter 8, he's preached unto him Jesus, verse 35, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, whether or not the eunuch had seen people being baptized in Jerusalem, or whether Philip had said, look, I believe it needs to be baptized, we don't know, it doesn't say. But whatever it was, he asked the question, What is there any hindrance to me being baptized? But notice what the eunuch said, what Philip said to him. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Okay? Baptism is not about getting right with God. Baptism is about a picture of the fact that I've gotten right with God. Baptism is a picture, and we talk about baptism as in full immersion. Baptism speaks of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection when we get baptized. It's not to get right with God, it's not to get in heaven. And so, what does he say? What's critical? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, and what was his response? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was, he said, I believe what you've been telling me. I've read it there in the book, and finally I understand what that was about. It wasn't about Isaiah, it was about the Messiah, and you've told me that the Messiah's come, he's died, he's been raised from the dead. That's what was prophesied. I accept that as the case. I believe that he is the Son of God. Simple as that. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God's raised him from the dead, said, you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. See, one of the difficulties is with religion, it complicates things. The Bible keeps it simple. The Bible keeps things real simple. Eunuch, you're a sinner that Jesus died for on the cross, as Isaiah said. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was raised from the dead, physically, bodily, after 3 days. Eunuch, if you'll accept that, if you'll believe that, if you put your faith in Christ, you'll be saved, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be a child of God. That's what he did. Simple as that, I believe. Not just in his head, right? Because Paul wrote, if you confess it and believe in your heart, in other words, I really believe that's true. I accept that as true. Thank you, God, I don't understand it necessarily. I can relate to that I mentioned that time I went to church. I couldn't understand it, but I said, I accept that that's true. That's what the Bible says. And so for the eunuch, he says, I believe. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip the eunuch and baptized him. They come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. That's what it says, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch was rejoicing. Why wouldn't he be rejoicing? He's finally got answers to his questions. He didn't understand it before. Think about it. He was a religious man. What did he go up to Jerusalem for? To worship. He didn't even know God. He just knew about God. There's a God there somewhere, I reckon. That's the best he could come up with until he started reading it and until Philip explained it to him. So this is what it's about, Mr. Unique. So a religious man, a good man, no doubt, all that, but didn't know the Lord as his Savior until Philip came and shared the scriptures with him. That divine appointment whereby God arranged for Philip to be there when the eunuch was going to be there. He'd have the scriptures open, the very scriptures that he needed to preach the gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And the eunuch believed. And they went and proved it when they were baptized. So I don't know about you this morning. Maybe do you have any questions? So I've heard what you've said. I've got some questions. Fine, I'll be happy to answer them for you later on if I can. You say, oh, there's some things I don't understand. Yeah, there's things I don't understand too. If you want to talk about, this is a book, I understand that much. But when we talk about God, there's things we don't fully understand, we cannot understand. But God has recorded in his word everything we need to know. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. And maybe I could just close out with this. Have you believed and confessed it? Eunuch, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, see, I do. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's the one who died for my sin. I don't know about you this morning, but could you give that testimony? Say, yep, that's me. There was a time in my life when I'd heard these things before. I don't know how many times I heard it, but I heard it the day it came and I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Please forgive me. Please save my soul. If you don't have that testimony this morning, I'm not here to criticize or anything else, but I'm here to encourage you. Maybe need to give it some serious thought. Because eternity is a long time. I'll just share this. Yesterday, this is about the third or fourth time, I've had someone on the phone. And, hello? Hello? I said, the devil's already here. Really? I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you don't repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you one day will die and go and spend hell, in hell, with Satan forever. Yeah, that'd be good. He said, you won't say that's good if it happens. I trust the one that he started. I'm going to do something else. Okay. What's the point of making? The point is, eternity is a long time. You need to be able to say, to confess publicly, I'm not asking you that this morning or anything like that, in that sense. But you need to be able to say, yeah, I'm like that eunuch. I didn't understand it for a long while. Now I see what the Bible says, and I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for on the cross, buried, raised again, and I'm going to ask him, I'm going to ask him to forgive my sin, maybe one of his children. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you and bless you again for the privilege of gathering together, and Lord, we've gone fairly quickly over some of these scriptures, and Father, we're thankful for the word of God that is true. Lord, we know from prophecy alone, Lord, both fulfilled, current, future, Lord, there's no way it couldn't be true. No man could write these things. We're thankful, Lord, as we read about Philip and the eunuch, Lord, how you brought them together in just an amazing way, and just so happened. We would say coincidence, but Lord, we know there's no coincidence. We had the Bible open to the one chapter in the Old Testament. There's a very clear, clear presentation of the Lord Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Philip was able to open the scriptures under him. And by your grace, Lord, by the work of the Spirit of God, we know it's only in the Spirit of God, that eunuch came to that place, which is, I believe, believe in the Lord Jesus, he is the Son of God, and then got baptized. Father, you know our hearts this morning, and I don't know everybody here this morning in that sense, Lord, you know. Father, I pray for someone who's so careful here this morning, who's a eunuch, came this morning, didn't really understand the scriptures, had questions, but Lord, maybe this morning these things have given us some insights. This morning they would say, that's for me this morning. This is no coincidence that I'm here. And I want to trust the Lord Jesus, my Savior. I'm happy to accept what the Bible says. Christ died for me, a sinner, was raised again. God, I want you to forgive me and make me one of your children. And just while our eyes are closed, my head's bowed, I'm not going to embarrass anybody or call you out or anything like that, but I would like to pray for you. Maybe God spoke to your heart this morning. You'd say, Father God, please pray for me. I want to be like that again. I want to get things right. And again, I'm not going to ask you to come out. I'm not going to make you stand up or do anything else. But just so I could pray for you, you just slip your hand up and take it down again. But you don't have to hold your hand up. You'll see it. Your Lord God's going to see you. So this morning, I want to be like that again. I want to settle this matter. I haven't understood it before, but this morning I can see the way I never have. Jesus died for me. And I accept that. He's raised from the dead. God, please forgive me. Anybody else? So, Pastor, come on. Remember, you're not joining the church. We're not going to come around. Now you've got to sign up. It's nothing to do with that. It's all about just getting right with God and making sure your life's right with Him so that you know where you're standing. Father, I do pray for those who raised their hand this morning, Lord, that become that settled peace that you have said comes in your word to make peace with God through the Lord Jesus. May they be like the eunuch, Lord, who read them finish and went away to rejoice. Lord, that's surely the way it is. Read of John Newton, how his life was so changed as he believed on the Lord Jesus and had worked in his heart. Lord, maybe there's others with questions still, Lord, still wondering what this is all about. May you continue to work in their hearts and lives and give them that, Lord, willingness to get the answers that they need when they turn to you. Say, yes, I'm like the eunuch. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Give you thanks now, Lord Jesus. Amen.